This is your friendly neighborhood author, Jonathan, and you are listening to Season 5 of the Floor Rejects podcast, The Isle of Artemisia. Hi there, and welcome back to the Floor Rejects podcast. This is your friendly neighborhood author, Jonathan, here with another chapter of our story. If you missed last week, or if you're just tuning in for the first time, hi, my name is Jonathan, and every week I read to you a chapter from a story that I'm working on, and after I read it, I try and give it some analysis, what I could do better, what I did well, areas for general improvement. And if you missed last week, basically what happened was Barret and Anaxos got free from the others. The others kind of had a revolt on their hands. Elliot was overthrown. Nick took his place. And that proved to be Barret and Anaxos' kind of freedom. Now, Barret does have to deliver the plant from where it grows near the cave to the others every 3 days, I think it was. But that's all he has to do to maintain his freedom and goodwill with the others, so far, at least. But that's kind of where we left off, so let's get into the new chapter of the story. Chapter 28, Love in the Sun. The pair slept long into the night and into the late morning. Both were tired out from the long, stretched-out process that was peace on this island. They had done more than should be necessary to maintain a semblance of tranquility on an island with no development or permanent housing. Barret was nuzzled tightly to Anaxos's chest. Anaxos kept his arms wrapped tightly around Barret, afraid to let him go. They were a delightfully, blissfully unaware couple at this moment, content just to be in each other's company. It was needed after the past couple of days. When the two finally did wake up, Barret was first by just a few minutes. He woke to his face pressed into Anaxos's chest. He inhales deeply, the scent of the man's skin intoxicating him. He smelled like sun and sweat and earth. His scent was deep and worthy. Barret can't help but unwillingly breathe it in and out and in and out. He pulses to the beat of Anaxos's heart. "What are you thinking?" Anaxos asks quietly as he wakes up. Barret looks up to him with his rough-hewn beard and tight, tanned skin. Barret wasn't sure what he was thinking at first, but eventually he opens his mouth. "I was thinking how delicious I find you," Barret responds, and to that Anaxos pulls Barret in tighter, kissing the top of his head with a smile. "You are delicious," Anaxos says, sighing deeply. He's so warm, laying there in the heat of the Grecian summer. He was sweating, but it only served to let his skin slip delightfully against Anaxos's. "I think I might be falling in love with you," Barret murmurs, with a little bit of confusion. He wasn't sure where the confession came from. "Me too," Anaxos hums, and he leans up from the bed, smiling down at Barret. "You want me, don't you?" Barret asks, and Anaxos slowly pulls his body up and over the man and leans down, kissing him deeply. It was a fraught and lovely kiss that sent shockwaves through Barret, like their kisses often did, but this one was different. It was tied up in emotions that he hadn't really had time to process, only feel. Love was one of them, but fear was another. Fear of losing Anaxos, fear of leaving him behind if rescue ever came. He was brokenhearted and at the same time filled with budding love. He pushes farther towards Anaxos, wishing he could absorb him, some part of the man, and make sure that they were never apart again. But that was not possible, and when they separated, Barret had a tear in his eye. Anaxos wipes at it with concern. "What is wrong?" he asks, leaning back in for another kiss, but Barret pulls back. "What happens when I leave?" the smaller man asks, and Anaxos pauses. He seems to think on it a minute, and then he lets a small, sweet smile cross his face. "I will go with you," he says, and Barret looks at him with shock. "How?" Barret questions. "Won't leaving the island and the plant behind just cause you to, you know, die?" Barret's voice is wavering, but Anaxos just kisses him, and then again, and then leans back onto the bed. "I don't eat it much now, just enough to survive. If I stop, I do not know what will happen. I've lived a long life, and I want to spend the rest of it with you," Anaxos confesses. Barrett's reeling. This was a huge bombshell. This man was ready to die for him, and he couldn't understand why. He poses the question, why me? With little inflection, letting Anaxos be the one to fill him in. Anaxos smiles again. Because you ask why, he explains, and he looks at Barrett with a calmness that radiates to his lover. He massages Barrett's arm gently, sweetly, as they stare into each other's eyes. They begin to turn towards each other, and before another moment can pass, their lips are pressed together, not mashed or firm, but loosely, intimately, as two lovers will when they have nothing else holding them back in the world. Barrett mounts Anaxos after a few moments, straddling the man's hips as he kisses him, grinding and undulating slowly, enjoying the sensation of each curve and angle of his partner's body. Anaxos's hands slide up Barrett's flanks, under his shirt to grip his slight chest. Barrett can't help but moan as the man's rough palms scuff at his skin. They wrestle at each other, and before long, their little bed is rocking with the effort of their romance. At one point, the two of them tilt too far to one side and go tumbling off the frame, hitting the sand in each other's arms. They both laugh and roll out of the entrance of the hut into the bright, hot sun. Barrett shrugs off his shirt, and Anaxos shimmies from his pants. Barrett does the same, and once their skins meet, all bets are off. The two of them romp in the sun, taking turns pleasuring one another, taking the time to smile and talk and listen like new lovers do. There is no rigidity to it, and their embrace is long and slow, with a richness and electricity that neither of them had really experienced before. Barrett was used to rushed, harsh, ragged ways that he'd always been given by his hookups in the past, and that was the way his lovers had taken him, but Anaxos savored him. The man enjoyed every inch of his body and left nothing alone. Barrett eventually found himself squirming in the sand, and Anaxos's lips wrapped around him with his body erupting. He convulses and shivers in the scorching sand. Anaxos chuckles, his mouth occupied. But then he leans up, and as Barrett looks on, it's apparent that his lover had reached his climax as well, and he falls next to Barrett in the sand, a sated look on his face as he stares up in the sky. What if we stayed? The both of us. What if I ate the Artemisia? I could be like you forever. With you, forever, Barrett asks after a long time. His mind had never wandered to this option before, as there was always a threat, but now, with a simple arrangement, he could live in peace and happiness for eternity with Anaxos. Anaxos's head shifts sharply, looking deep into Barrett's eyes. No, he says. Barrett's face scrunches up as if to ask why. Anaxos sits up, his broad, hirsute chest pressed to his knees. You need more than this, Anaxos says. Barrett shakes his head. He didn't think he did. He would leave it all behind for peace and simplicity. He hadn't felt the depression and pain, even through all the danger, once since he'd met Anaxos. What if I said I didn't? Barrett asks. Anaxos shakes his head emphatically. You deserve more, he says. And Barrett considers this. But if you came with me, you could die, X, Barrett says seriously. He was scared of the idea. He pictured the man shriveling up to a decaying husk on a ship's deck as they sailed away from the isle. Anaxos stares at him intently. He takes Barrett's hands in his. It would be worth it to escape with you, he says seriously. And then, as if to silence Barrett's thoughts at the idea, he kisses him again. And Barrett allows the idea to slip to the back of his mind, but he doesn't forget it. He would come back to it sooner or later. He was quickly finding that he wasn't sure he wanted to return to civilization if it meant endangering Anaxos. The man was too good to die, but he was also too good to let Barrett stay. So what do I like about this chapter? Well, here's the thing, is I don't know that I like or dislike anything about it. Oh, I've got the hiccups. Oh, no. Oh, it's the worst time for the hiccups. Okay. Okay. I tried to write this chapter a little bit differently than I normally do. Normally, when I write a romance novel and I write a romantic chapter, it's very explicit. And I do that for a reason, because I think gay people deserve rights. I know it's brave to say, but I think gay people deserve rights. And so I try to make it as explicit and make it as graphic and make it as horny as a romance novel is that portrays two straight characters. I want to make it gay. I want to make it intense. I want to make it appealing. I want to make it the same thing that it is for straight people that it is for gay people. But I took this chapter as an opportunity to practice writing a little bit more, not figuratively, but a little bit more flowery, less intense, less graphic, less intense. I tried to write it. And I think I was successful. I think that it sounds okay. I think that doing it in a way that's not quite so descriptive definitely shortens the encounters. It shortens the chapter. It shortens the situation that you're describing because you're not describing every action that takes place with the character's genitals and all of that. You're kind of broadly painting what's happening without making it explicit and clear cut. It's kind of up to interpretation. So that's kind of what I tried to do with this chapter. I didn't want it to be quite so rough, if you catch my drift. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think more quality, the better. But I also want to try my hand at other types of writing. Would it be better if I did it in a different story instead of having one style in one chapter and one style in a different? Yes. Am I like slowly losing my mind and not sure what I'm doing with my life, and so I'm just kind of doing whatever feels right at the moment? Also, yes. But that's kind of where I was going with this chapter. I wasn't trying to make it quite so graphic. I wasn't trying to make it so intense. I wanted it to be a little calmer, a little bit more flowery and delicate and less descriptive, just to see if I could do it, see if it worked. I personally think it went okay. Is it the greatest chapter that's ever been written by an author? No, it's not. Is it terrible? No, it's not. Do I like need somebody to polish it up and say, your idea is good and some of your words are good, but some of them need a little help? Yeah, I probably need that, but where am I going to find that? I don't know. So that's what I liked about this chapter. That's what I was going for with this chapter. I have decided, I think I'm going to switch to every 2 weeks for my podcast episodes. And it's just because I'm doing too much in the real world that I can't keep up the schedule without sacrificing part of my personal life. And I don't want to do that. So I'm going to kind of switch the schedule around a little bit, and hopefully that alleviates the pressure a little bit and gives me more time for each chapter so that I can think about what I want to do and focus on what I want to do and not like be rushing to get it all done in 2 nights, because that's what I was doing. So that's kind of where we're at. If you're listening to this and you want to watch it, it's really not much to watch. You just get the chapter kind of scrolling past you on the screen. But if that interests you so that you can kind of read along, you can watch this on YouTube, Floor Rejects on YouTube. If you are watching this and you'd rather just listen to it, you don't really care about watching me, totally get it. You can listen to this on any podcasting platform you can find at Floor Rejects. If you want to let me know anything about the podcast, if you want to ask questions, if you want to just tweet me something nice or email me something nice or just chat with me, let me know you're there. You can tweet me at Floor Rejects. You can email me floorrejects@gmail.com. But besides that, that's pretty much it. That's what I was going for with this chapter. That's what I was aiming for with this chapter. And I'll be back in a couple weeks with another chapter of the story. We're getting kind of close to the end here, but we do need kind of a final push back from the aisle, I think, before we can safely say goodbye to it. But that'll be coming. So I've been your friendly neighborhood author, Jonathan, and this has been the Floor Rejects podcast. Bye. This damn clicker, I hate it. Every time I click it, it doesn't work. Look, it doesn't work.